Is this it? Mayday. Is it? Yes.
Okay, now we're recording. It's the big finale show.
Woo!
Big finale show.
Yes!
So, a couple things I want to get out of the way early on for the people that are listening. One, next week we will have another podcast, so do not unsubscribe randomly, because we always have our year-end wrap-up show.
Oh, yeah,
where we talk
course.
About things, and it will be our favorite time of the year, which is Ask Mayday Anything time. So you can submit all of your questions, regardless of whether they have anything to do with The Handmaid's Tale. And if we deem them appropriate for, you know, discussing on the air, we'll discuss them on the show. So feel free to get those ready. So
Yay.
Whatever you want to know, whether that's to one single person in the team, me, Sarah, or Tiana, or just all of us, or whatever. For both, whatever. It's all good. You ask us, we'll answer it if we feel like it. That's basically how it's going to go. So I can ask me anything with an asterisk next to it. That's what I always do.
Anything-ish.
Yeah. Ask me anything-ish. That's right. So... we're going to dive right into this. I think everyone, because we texted prior. Now, no one here listening to this show is privy to our texts, hopefully. So
that would be creepy.
They do not know what we said, which was all the tears and all the crying. But I would think everyone would agree that there was much, much crying. Sarah said the crying first. Sarah said you cried.
Definitely some open weeping during the show.
Sarah was like, yeah. I cried. It's good. That's all I'm going to say, because I hadn't watched it yet.
I had to pause it and collect myself.
Yes. Tiana, were you Waterworks as well?
Not total Waterworks the whole time. I was more like going, like a lot.
Oh,
and
really?
Just like...
Interesting.
Like there were parts in which I realized like I wasn't breathing because I was just like holding my breath like, are they going to make it? And
it's like,
freaking
okay.
out.
Breathe, breathe. Got to breathe.
Yeah. Huge.
And then, yeah, by the end, I was totally crying.
Okay. I tell you what I do feel kind of bad for. Two people. It might be, you might be both of these people if you're out there listening.
Only two?
Yeah. There are all two types of people. Okay. Like, I'm making a dude, like, stereotypical person here.
Okay.
The person that has either not read the book or who has not listened to our interview with Bruce Miller last week. Because I feel like if you knew the book and you knew that interview going in, you were pretty sure that she wasn't going to die.
Yeah.
Right? It's a minor spoiler alert for those of you who had done neither of those things but are still listening to the podcast, which is probably a low percentage of number here.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to walk away from your...
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to the podcast right now, we assume you know that we're here to talk about the last episode.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's your own fault.
So if you know the book and you know that Bruce Miller's like, this is the story we're telling, then you know that she's not going to die in the woods after she shoots the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, they just renewed for another season,
right. Well,
so there's
a fourth season, and also, you know, the whole point is that they find these tapes, which she's recording somewhere, you know, there. So she's dead.
Well, we don't actually know where she recorded them.
That's true.
Could have been in Lawrence's basement.
That's true. In the book, it is in a safe house-ish thing in Maine, and they just find them, and spoiler
alert.
Well,
that's where they find the tapes.
You don't know anything else other than that they find the tapes. So... I'm gonna set that stage for you, for those of you who are in that.
Feel free to pause and
percentage.
Sit on that for a minute.
Yes. So, yes. And at the end of the book, for those who have not read the book, you don't know what happens to her.
You don't know what happens to
most
of the main characters.
Yeah.
I mean, in the book, you don't know what happens to Moira a really long time ago.
Yes. Very true. But now, let's dive into this thing, because I feel like there is much, much to talk about. So let's talk about this opening scene, which is, I'm going to let you two take this because it was fucking god awful.
This is one of the most interesting things to me. When I first read the book, one of the things that I was really fixated on was the turnover.
Right.
Just the days leading up to it, the days after it, like just everything about the turnover, because in the book, it's only addressed in like a couple pages. And I just reread those pages because I found that really fascinating. And so the show opens with June. It's a flashback, but you don't know it's a flashback right away.
Right.
So it opens with June at the point of the turnover where I'm assuming they first like physically took them.
Rounded up everyone.
I got the impression this is shortly after the part in the first episode where you see them find her in the woods. Like, right. That this is maybe like this the next day.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's been carted somewhere.
That's what I thought
and
was.
This is where we are now.
Yeah. And it's obvious.
But yeah, it is at first like not super obvious that you're looking at before.
And so, yeah. So it's obviously terrifying. And June tries to get the attention of a guard. So they're in these, you know, like cage corrals.
Like it's the same types of cages that Lawrence takes her to show her the other
salvaging
cages of women where she can save a few.
Just
during the day.
See, that's why I got a little confused with the timeline right at first because I'd seen those before and whatever. But anyway, so she tries to get the attention of the guard. In fact, there's a fun Janine element, of course, in it as well.
Always.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was
so happy to see it.
So she's like trying to get the eye contact of a guard in hopes to...
I think she was asking about...
Well, she was asking about her daughter, but I think she was trying to like... chip away a little at the human side of him and kind of be like, I'm a human looking for my daughter and you're a human and we're right here and tell me. And he of course doesn't.
Maybe like physiologically.
Well, and I think also like this is not far enough along in the process of the breakdown of society that she understands that he probably has no fucking idea where her daughter is.
Right.
You know, like she doesn't understand the depth of the situation yet.
Right. I mean, and as a
people
person.
People are still trying to just like run away. And, like there's going to be somewhere to go.
Right.
And I think in my head, I'd always be trying to make it seem not as bad as it was. And maybe there's still some hope and maybe I can get out of here. And maybe this is a temporary thing. And maybe, you know, like in my head, I'd be trying to do all those things. And so maybe that's where she was. And so she tries to ask about her daughter and he's really not giving a shit. And the voiceover talks about ruthlessness and how, you know, the only people who end up being successful in these types of situations are the most ruthless people, the hardest hearts. And so she, you get the sense now that that's where she is mentally.
To be ruthless, I mean, go the spoils, she says.
That and I think we know she's already there. She didn't need to say it because she killed a couple people in the last episodes.
Yes, she did.
So I was not questioning her ruthlessness, but you just get the sense that it's game time for her and there's no turning back.
Yeah, I just, this whole scene was like, I mean, I can only imagine as a woman watching this, for me, as a guy watching it, it was like, there was something about the, because we've seen this kind of scene before, at either like a Holocaust movie, slavery movie, or any kind of like mass genocide type of movie.
Somewhere where human are being treated as cattle.
Yeah.
But something about the modernness, you know, present time of it really fucks with you.
Totally agree.
Because this is not a thing that you are used to seeing, and as bad as it is, but it is not a thing that you're used to seeing suburban white women in cages. Regardless of whether that is a good thing to think or not. But that's usually not the case of these type of shows and these kind of scenarios. That is not who you are seeing in these things, in these situations.
For me, I think one of the things that every time we see scenes of this nature in this show that makes it even more startling than what we see in for them present day Gilead is that they are like wearing things that I own. There are like cultural clues around to tell me that like this is the time that I live in. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes incredibly easy to put yourselves in their shoes. And I think, you know, just like when we see random technology in Gilead and we're like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is supposed to be possible in the near future. Like, of course, they have laptops.
Right.
You know, to be reminded that this is like the result of things that went on in today's America is very startling every time, especially when it's like completely off guard and out of context like this. Like, we have not been there in a while.
No.
We have not been thinking about the time before or the transition in quite some time.
Right.
True.
So it seems even more shaking you in your skin.
Well, I mean, it like, I was rewatching it today, taking some notes, and there's the one scene where the African-American girl, she's got the bigger hair, she's backing up, and there's a woman behind her who's
the really
like,
young one.
Who has, like, a purse in her hand and her coat's still on.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, like, shoes that you, like, normally wouldn't, you're just hanging out, you know? So this is like, these people were like just brought here.
They were just grabbed from whatever they were doing.
From whatever they were doing. So that whole, all of it, the whole setting there is just awful and terrifying. And to make it worse, which is something we really haven't seen or heard dealt with much at all, was the taking of the Down syndrome girls.
Yeah.
Across the hallway.
And that's something that was addressed in the book.
That is addressed in the book.
Was? I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about it when they're talking about, when the book is referencing like, people being shipped out to sea and just like never seen or heard from again. Right. And, you know, where like all of the people of color went
right.
in the book where they're it's much more homogenous.
They take anyone that isn't going to help the society be whatever their vision is of it, genetically speaking.
More horrifying.
They just get rid of them in various ways.
Holocaust.
Very. The whole thing. It's awful. Then we cut right to June at the Loaves and Fish is what? We got a bug finder?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry.
She didn't get it yet.
All right, we'll get it. June. Oh, so the other thing that was in this scene that I think we need to address is when she's walking by, they show that shot where, like, there's another room up the stairs from the other room where, like, the doctors are examining all the women as they are herded in there. And that just another, you know, very Holocaustian reference.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure just, the whole thing was just fucking awful. I couldn't even deal with it. But again, I'm a dude. So, like, I can't even, like, in your heads, like, just, like, yeah. I just don't even know.
Extra horrifying.
I just can't. It's hard. Okay. Second scene. So that cuts to right to June where she is giving the, how did the people get so ruthless? Because at the end she's saying, you know, ruthless. I remember thinking how fucking ruthless these men could be. And then she has this voiceover about where does it come from, the talent for this, like, level of ruthlessness. And then she goes into how the ruthless are the ones that always end up with the spoils. Especially in this scenario, specifically. So she said it's time for her to get ruthless, I think. I think that's pretty much the deal.
Yeah.
And so the way they're going about this is kind of amusing to me, because I really didn't understand how the old guy guardian that was walking her around did not see all the soap that was getting dropped into her bag.
Right? He was really not paying attention.
Right. Like, maybe he just couldn't hear, or maybe he was kind of in on it. We're supposed to think that?
No,
I don't think so.
No. You see him being terrible to other people, like, during that same time frame.
Yeah,
but it seemed like they were being really obvious about it.
I thought so too.
These girls clearly did not pass enough notes in class.
Right.
They're not very good at this.
No.
Janine practically got a bullhorn out.
I know. Oh my gosh, Janine. Oh, we didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Janine in the scene where they're being effectively
herded.
I'll sue
the shit out of you or whatever
they, like,
she
have
says.
To like throw her into the van or whatever the thing is, and it's just like full color,
full
life
on
Janine, and
two
it's
eyes
so
and
great.
Full attitude.
I missed more sane Janine a little bit.
I know.
Yep.
When she was just really angry.
Really angry. She was going to sue them for a whole bunch of money.
I know.
And
I feel like I know
that
woman. I know several of that woman, and they're great.
Yes, they are. Janine, like all the handmaids are walking by, putting soap in the thing, and I'm like, why doesn't the dude see? But I guess whatever. Maybe he's just like, look, I just want to get you home, get my shit over with so I can go home and do whatever.
We all have those days.
Right?
Even in Gilead.
Janine comes up and she's like, a gift. Yay. And we're like, Janine, seriously.
Take it down a notch.
Dial her down a notch, sister. But there's some interesting things that June is talking about that I didn't even really think about. While she's walking, she's doing this whole voiceover about how, you know, she can get them to the, she can get the kids to the airport and get everybody out as long as the Martha network is real, as long as this isn't a trap set by the eyes. And that's one of those things where you're like, Yeah. I kind of feel like that about every single thing that any of them do in this show.
Yeah. When,
although
how could that not
that would
cross
be
your
like
mind?
A way better trap than anything else they've pulled off so far.
Right?
So
yeah. But
I kind of doubt their ability to actually do something like that, but it does seem like it would be a great trap, right?
Yeah, because so far the only people who have really pulled off any kind of trap is Serena and June when they got evil commander guy.
I mean, the eyes just seem basically fully reactive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is basically how they are
right.
in this show, this episode.
Yeah. Janine drops it in, but then Aunt Lydia sees it, of course, because Aunt Lydia is always lurking, always lurking. And so she comes to June and is like, hey, what's going on? And June's like, nothing, you know, just Janine being Janine, which is a good thing. You can chalk that up to. So it's a good
thing.
That's
true, right?
Because Aunt Lydia is like, totes, right? I know. So then she goes into this whole thing about how she needs to make sure that she's, you know, behaving because all
she's
the other handmaids look up to her.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And two, because her next commander will not deal with her subversive nonsense. So she says she'll keep it to a minimum, which I thought was a great line.
I knew she was going to say it, and I still enjoyed it when she said it.
I'll keep my subversive nonsense to a minimum.
I just knew she would.
And then I saw a thing the other day. I think Sarah tagged me on it on Instagram where Ann Dowd was doing a text interview.
Yes.
And she, they were talking about what her favorite line was, and this was the one she said. Was
she
the,
did a text interview?
Yeah.
It was Instagram. Really good.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And she said that watch yourself is her new favorite line in the show. She's like, I just love saying it. Watch yourself. Yeah.
It was great. Her advice to Serena and Fred was get divorced.
Yes.
But this was before this episode.
Yes, it was before this episode.
Yeah.
And also... Team Luke, Team Nick fans, she, I think, spoke for very loudly for most of the people on this podcast when they asked her if you wanted to see June with Nick or Luke, and she was like, I think Luke, because Nick is always sort of, yeah. She made this face, and I was like, yes.
I was just talking about this today at the office with my friend who is only on episode 2 of season 2.
Oh, my.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, just wait. He was, and he even said, he was like, he said, do you want some water? Like, who does that?
Yeah, exactly. Who does that indeed? All right, so this gets us back to the Lawrence house, where they are kind of setting shit up, and now the Lawrence house is officially like the underground like setup house,
right? Sure.
For this whole operation, this plan, it's
the
base of operations. So the other Martha, whose name is Sienna, we learned today.
Yeah.
Is complaining because no one will... She's like, hey, you guys won't let me in on the plan.
What's a lot of soap you got there.
I need help.
I know. And so finally, Jude is like, look, fucking do it or don't. You're in or you're not. Quit waiting for us to, like, hold your hand.
Right. You have eyes. Look around. Do something.
Do a thing. And so she decides to flex that muscle first by not ironing Joey Lawrence's jacket for him.
Decisively.
Which is great because... ironing. It's funny because then he, like, has no... like reaction or anything he can do.
Yeah,
because
he's like,
just like, well, okay.
Somebody just says she's kind of prickly, and June says, I think you've forgotten what a strong woman looks like, which is hilarious.
It's been some time.
So Beth, we learn, can't handle the nervousness, as she's our anxious little Martha, which is funny because I didn't really peg her for that.
Nor did
I. Given
all
the stuff that she's doing. But this is kind of some next level shit here.
I do get that. However, Tim had a theory that he was like, she's going to screw everything up. That's going to be the one that's going to screw everything up.
I kind of thought that too.
Because in the previews from, or the recap from last episode that happens in the beginning of the episode, they did something with her. Like they focused on her for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then we keep talking about how sick Beth is and we don't know where she is. And he had every reason to. And I kind of was starting to buy into it for a second. And I was like, she is going to screw everything up for them. Yeah, she can't
she's gonna
even
be barfing when they need her.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. There were a couple things that like, were alluded to, especially like that moment at the end of the last episode at the funeral where like June and Lawrence look at each other, and I was glad people on Facebook also agreed with me, like who thought like he looked like he was going to kill her or murder her or had some ill will towards her.
Yeah,
because I was like, I don't know what the hell that look meant. That could have meant with him at that character, it could have meant literally anything, but to me it did not look like, hey, thanks for being there for me. So the fact that that didn't even seem to play into this episode was a little strange to me, but there didn't seem to be like a tone change in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like between them, especially.
Well, I don't know why I thought this, but at one point I was like, is he still on board? Like a part of me started to question, not that he was openly.
Like, is he going nihilist or something?
Yeah. Like I don't know. I just thought, oh no, he's going to screw it up too. Like between him and Beth, I was like, this is not going to go well. I don't know what's happening, but I'm very nervous.
Very nervous. Yeah, I think there were a lot of people very nervous about this whole episode. There were a lot of things to be very nervous about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I spent this whole episode just in a big ball of nerves.
Well, I had to keep myself grounded in the fact that I knew that she wasn't going to die. I didn't know that this whole plan was going to go off. Like in my head, I was like, nobody's going to make it except for that one kid. She's going to be the only one on the plane.
That's the first one to arrive.
Yeah. I was like, that's going to be the only one. Everybody else is going to get like mowed down in a hail of gunfire. She's going to make it to the plane, which I've been fine with because also a plausible scenario given how things went down. But no, there were so many things in your head while you're watching it. So essentially what they're doing here is they've collected all this stuff, including the soap from the Marthas, and they're putting like together like survival packs essentially because they have to figure out how to keep these kids.
Yeah. Well, the soap was primarily for the gate.
The lubricant.
Right. Yeah. They
did
use it for the gate. And it was like, I don't know. It seemed like almost like grease. It was weird. I don't know. Cause I never made soap before, so I don't know how it looks when you kind of melt it down. But
it depends on what you make it with. Yeah.
Yeah. You can make it with lard, like in Fight Club.
And oil. I mean, like a lot of soaps are made with like coconut oil, shea butter, and those both get like oily.
Yeah, because she uses it on the outside gate, and then they use it to kind of white out the basement windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just noticed that today when they were doing that, because I guess so nobody could see in, you know, because that would be key for this whole,
you know, event. So nobody sees the, like, 100 children in there.
Yeah, so she's hot. This is my favorite part. So she uses the grease lubing up the gate outside, but then we have the people who are early to the party. We all know those people. Usually they're like your grandparents. It's not like, you know, an itchy Martha,
Martha
who's like, hey, I gotta get out now. Gotta get out now? What am I, 12 hours early? Is it cool?
Oh, my God.
She was freaking out.
Really effing early. I don't know how she thought that that was going to be
okay.
All right.
She did not seem to have it all together. Like, she was not in a good place. And so they bring her inside, and she's freaking out. And then they inadvertently give us a brand new introduction to our podcast, which I was super happy about.
I know.
And I was like, well, that's going to be it at the beginning of every show. I'm very excited because she walks in and she says, is this it? Mayday. Is it? And I was like, well, that just kind of wrote itself, didn't it? And they said yes. And I was like, well, that's perfect. Thank you, Bruce Miller and Company, for writing our new intro to our podcast. We're going to use it until you tell us not to. So they tell her, yeah, it's Mayday. Totally. We're totally Mayday. They're all kind of looking at each other like, Mayday?
Yeah.
You want to be?
Yes, obviously.
Yes, we're Mayday. Yes, that is exactly what we are. You said it. Well, and it was interesting because, you know, you haven't heard Mayday mentioned since, I think, after the...
After they
bombed the commander meeting. That was kind of the last Mayday-ish thing, because the end of, it was the end of season one. So, at some point, they talked about how Mayday was not into the getting the Handmaids out game anymore. They were more going after the commanders and the government side of it, so that the, you know, the Handmaids were kind of on their own at this point. So I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if, like, the Marthas who are running their shit are part of the official Mayday, quote unquote. Or if they have their own thing, or if they really are the Martha Mafia on their own. I have zero idea. I also still don't know what was on the plane when it came in the first place.
I really was hoping to learn that.
It's called the cliffhanger.
That's not how a cliffhanger works.
Well, that is how a cliffhanger works. Do we know how it did it? Do we know what's in the plane? Will we find out next year when something blows up, probably? Yes.
But it wasn't like the main thing.
No.
That was not the...
I didn't say it was the main thing.
Objective.
But the thing.
It's not like Who Shot JR.
Oh,
cliffhanger.
Jesus Christ.
I know, that was an old reference.
Yeah, it was.
I'm really going for it today.
You can do it. Do another one. What's another cliffhanger reference? Go ahead.
That was a Before Your Time reference.
Totally. Like, why did I even say that?
I don't know.
Well, that's like one of the biggest cliffhangers in TV history.
Yeah, maybe you just spent too much time talking about television.
What is the other super old reference that I just made? I made another one like a couple minutes ago. Justin knew. He nodded.
I did?
All right.
I'm married. I know how to nod, even when I'm not listening.
Oh, dude.
Oh, dear.
Y'all just give him all your hateful comments.
Yes.
He asked for it.
Internet.
Do it.
Unleash.
Oh, I deserve it. So they get her inside. Now, next scene is back to the what I'm referring to now officially as the Canadian Luxury Holding Facility.
Yes, of course. 5 stars.
Because I had a
rating.
I had a number of people on Facebook who were like, Justin, this is clearly not jail. Because I was referring to it as a jail cell.
Yeah,
so I apologize. It is clearly holding facility.
But like... definitely a luxury.
And also, I think
facility.
We discover that a Captain Freedom Pants works for the International Criminal Court. I don't think that he is affiliated with the United States or Canada.
Okay.
Because their questioning is turning over Fred to the ICC. Mm-hmm.
He sure sounds American.
Well, he might be American, but it seems like his official role is
job.
As a member of the ICC.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that could be wrong, but that was just kind of what I was inferring from him, the way he was referring to the other governments and such. So, Canadian Luxury Holding Facility with Captain Freedom Pants and Serena discussing her testimony, which is some interesting stuff.
I hope we get to see her recorded testimony.
Oh, yeah. I think next season
I really want to see some of that.
Super fun with all of that.
You can play with
one,
that a lot.
Because I want to see her hate herself a little every time she speaks and be really uncomfortable. And also because I think she would have some fascinating things to say.
She's earned it, I think. She's earned that hate
of herself. Yes, both counts. Yes. She has earned both of those things, yes.
So she's still got to talk to several other people, says Captain Freedom Pants. And Serena's like, can I get out of any of those? And he's, no, you can't.
Even though I'm like you, physically.
Yeah. Even though I'm clearly attracted to you. Because I also don't remember, because I know later on, they kind of emphasize the fact that when they arrest her, he calls her Mrs. Waterford. Does he call her Serena at other points? Okay.
He always calls her Mrs. Waterford. Internet, please correct me, but I'm pretty sure it's always Mrs. Waterford.
Okay, I couldn't remember because at that point, he makes an he kind of emphasizes extra, it.
It seemed really extra intent
on calling her Mrs. Waterford as opposed to Serena. So I couldn't remember in my head. It didn't seem like it to me. I think it had always been, you know, just the facts, ma'am, Mrs. Waterford.
Somebody tell us. We can't remember.
Yeah. Let me know.
So Captain reminds her that she's forfeited her rights to not do anything. She reminds him that she didn't forfeit them. She traded them, quote unquote, for her daughter, which is not her daughter. And
her fake stolen daughter.
It felt a little overplaying your hand for someone who is stuck in a luxury Canadian holding facility.
I felt the same. Yeah.
Just how it felt to me.
It was like, the girl the social worker just told you not allowed to call your daughter? That one?
Right.
That one. Okay.
Yeah.
The one you got to hold for like 1 hour in the last year?
Yeah, exactly. But we do learn that she's going to get a little badge to go out and visit Canada. Now, if I'm Moira.
Yet again.
And I find that out. Can you just imagine? Like, if I'm anybody.
I think if I'm Moira, I'm planning how she will have an accident.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would imagine that she's got to have some sign of security out with her. Because if you're like in an area where like there are a majority of refugees from the country that you helped create, make them refugees, I think if you go out on the streets, you're not going to be okay.
I don't think the general public knows who she is.
Oh, I didn't think they do.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I think
in normal clothes and stuff.
But either way, why? Why?
She's just a random lady.
I don't know.
But why is she given these freedoms? I mean,
because she turned over a commander.
I get that, but why did it extend this far? I
Nobody's been prosecuted yet.
Well, here's the part.
There's still a long way to go.
And here's the part that we don't know. We don't know what the negotiations with Captain Freedom Pants were or when they took place. She had the phone, so clearly she was in contact with him. So maybe at some point he had to be like, okay, we'll give you some time to walk around whatever Canadian city they're in. Toronto,
I think. I've been assuming it's Toronto, but I don't know.
So that would be my case. I mean, I would think, again, this is my thing. You got to promise her pretty much whatever the hell she wants. You can always just... you know, find a way not
go
to
back
do it.
On it. Yeah,
it's what governments do, right? Or you just wait for the spouse to flip on him.
Sure,
like any good domestic case.
Well,
that was him. Yeah, Fred's best move.
Hey, that's if Fred knows smartest how to do anything,
smartest thing he thought of on his own the whole time.
It's true. This is the smartest thing he's done since he manipulated Luke, who was easily manipulated.
Yeah, who was highly.
It felt emotional. Like he was just going in there. I felt like it could have just hit him with the binder. I think that would have been cooler.
I saw on my very highly infrequent visits to social media, I did see a lot of people concerned that Luke had left behind the binder. Did either of you have concern with that?
He did get drug out without the binder. However, unless Fred's going to sit there and rip up all the stuff in the binder, I think the binder's okay. I felt like somebody was going to come back in.
But what do you think was in it?
To me... and somebody else, I was reading this, that he had been, like, gathering evidence or stuff from other people that were also refugees that kind of were all about the things that Fred had done.
Like testimonials from other refugees?
Maybe, yeah. Some kind of evidential stuff that was like...
I clearly haven't been paying that much attention to whatever Luke's hands are doing when he's in a scene.
Because when he sat down, he said, I know the things that you've done. And he opens the thing, like he's about to, tell Fred his whole life story like Fred wasn't there. So, I don't know. But I don't know that specifically.
Interesting.
It's very open at this point. So figure out, Bruce, what you're going to put in there, because it'll make it interesting. Okay, now, we get back to this scene. And this is my favorite scene in the whole thing, because whoever this young lady, and I did not look up her name, whoever this 10-year-old girl is, that is Rebecca in this episode, I need her to have an award. I need awards.
Oh, yeah. Her face was great.
If there's an award for, like, best 5 minutes in a drama...
Best supporting actress, you mean?
Like guest actress, I think, is that weird one where it's like,
guest, you know?
Oh.
That Alexis Bledel one for the first season.
Yeah.
Because she's fucking incredible. And
she was
all
great.
The scenes
it was very understated for a kid's performance, which you don't often get.
Awesome. So June is like cleaning up her feet because they walked there. And she says, you walked all the way from Lexington. So I did a little homework here. I Googled just a general Lexington to Boston proper. I don't know where the Lawrences live. I don't know where they picked in Gilead House Hunters. But it's 14 miles.
That's a long way.
That's a long way. So, yeah, your feet would be a little
fucked
up.
Martha got back there so fast.
No, she got picked up on the way.
That's true.
And they got seen on the way.
She thought she was going to be back fast.
14 miles, somebody bound to see you.
I know, right? But Daytime, 14 miles.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what happens when you come to the party that early. Come on. Damn. So she's talking to her, and this whole exchange is just awesome. June is kind of getting to take care of a kid again, which is really very sweet, and she's really super into it, you know?
Yeah.
And you could just tell that she misses.
It was so great to see and also, like, so sad at the same time.
Yeah. And so Rebecca, who we find later, we don't know this at the time, but this girl, little girl's name is Rebecca. And she's like, bless you for your trouble. And she says, do you know what it's like? Out. And she's 10 years old. Like, she's probably, the actress is probably like in the 12 to 13 year old range, I would think. Seems a little older than 10 for me, like in real life, but I'm playing along. And she says she doesn't remember, which is interesting because we know it was 5 years. So if she's a 10-year-old kid, she got picked up when she was 5 years old. And it's not totally plausible that
people
do
not have a lot of memories that far back. Yeah. No.
And so June just says, you know, you'll be free. No one's going to hurt you for reading or tell you what to think or who to love or what to believe in.
Or to wear.
And she says, you know, you don't have to be a wife or a mother if you don't want to. And she kind of gets this look on her face like, what are you talking about? She says, then what would I be? And she says, you'd be you. And then she breaks everyone's heart and says, well, God still love me then. And you're like, aw. And she says, yes. And so they do that thing that every, like, mother does after super intense conversation. She says, who's hungry?
Yeah.
Who wants to eat? You hungry? Yeah. All right. So she's giving her some food.
Let's get you to stop asking me the hard questions.
Yeah. Let's, okay.
I'm going to break
food
into tears
in that mouth.
In a second.
All right. So she grabs her hands, and this is like, this prayer thing almost broke me. This whole scene, like, killed me. And I said this may be the first genuine prayer in the history of this show.
Yeah.
Like, for praying for actual
on
real
her
things.
Part, yeah.
On anyone's part.
People who have drank the Kool-Aid pray all the time for things.
No. That's praying for, like, things that are good. Like, this is an actual legitimate prayer I could see someone actually saying somewhere else in the world and having it mean something. And so she says, for food in a world where many walk in hunger, for faith in a world where many walk in fear, for my family in a world where many walk alone, we give thanks, O Lord, amen. And June even says amen, which is a big thing. So that whole scene, that's probably...
Yeah, that's a really well-written prayer.
That's probably my second favorite scene of the whole show ever.
Really?
I'm going to say that. My first one is still The Handmaid's Breakfast with Serena trying to be friends with everybody and having brunch.
I forgot about that
whole scene in its entirety is incredible. But this is probably my second favorite because this kid is ridiculously good. And it was just like packing all the emotional punches, right? It was just this whole episode, like, I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't even handle
it. It was great.
Lots of feels. So many feels. Those kind of things don't last very long in Gilead if you happen to keep them score at all. So Maggie the Martha comes back in and she's like, yeah, you know what?
Losing her shit.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go because she's freaking out because she doesn't want to get caught. And everybody's trying to get her to stay. And at one point, it becomes kind of rather clear that she's not going to stay. So June
pulls the gun, of course.
Pulls the gun.
I think she doesn't even pull the gun until, like, she's chased her a little bit.
Well, June just walks out of the room very calmly, and you're like, oh, shit, here comes the gun.
I knew exactly what she was going to do.
And so she catches them basically as they're walking out the door, right on the doorstep, and she's like, Maggie, you're not leaving, or I'm going to shoot you. And she grabs the kid, and Maggie takes the fuck off. And you're like, fuck. And then, so I thought about this. Like, at the time, I was like, why didn't you fucking shoot her? But
the noise.
I know.
They would have been found immediately.
I was thinking with my head, I was thinking with my heart, not my head there.
Yeah.
Because, yes, not shooting her. It did for a minute. Not shooting her makes way more sense in the fact that you don't all of a sudden have people going, why is there shooting at the Lawrence house?
Long game.
Well, whatever happened to just tackling somebody and just knocking them out?
I feel like that would definitely have been noticed as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess she could have. But what good would it have been done? She would have been, like, screaming and stuff and dress.
Yeah, and what's she going to do with her back in the
house?
Just
do, like, a Fezzik head bump on the top and just she's out.
Is she
out for the rest of the night? Probably not.
Maybe the way Sarah does it. I don't know.
You know.
You have a method?
Just like. Because
you did really seem to know what you were talking about there for a minute. For everybody on listening, you missed her convincing hand motions.
Well, you know, there's that scene in The Princess Bride where the albino and Fezzik are like, you know, the albino, and then he just bops him on the top of the head with a bald fist, and then the albino just drops to the ground.
So now we're taking our cues for strategy from The Princess
Bride. From Rob Reiner, yeah. So, like, I've never done it personally, but it looked very effective on the fantasy movie that I was watching.
And who's
that has giants in it and miracle pills and people coming back from the dead and stuff.
Yeah.
But no, but you can pistol whip somebody and that works. True. They don't talk a lot.
She was not in range. She was not in range for a pistol whipping.
She needs to get running. Maybe, she's got shoes on.
Maybe the ground game's not for her. Maybe she wouldn't have caught up to that Martha. She was, you know, she looked a little faster than what I think June would be.
It was imperative that she catch that Martha, though. Like, the Martha being gone, I was like, there.
Yeah,
screwed.
As soon as the Martha was out of the yard, I was like, oh my God, cancel the whole operation.
Screwed.
There's no way that she is not going to tell somebody.
Throw a bowling ball. Do whatever you got to do. I don't know.
Throw a bowling ball.
Throw a bowling ball.
Throw a bowling ball out of your pocket.
Wow. I have no idea. Figure it out.
So anything better than not doing anything?
Then letting her run away and totally ruin everything. I'm not saying you have to kill her, but like.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. But I don't know what you do. I mean, in that moment, in that situation, I don't know what else you could do.
In that situation, I feel like now we need Sarah there to protect us.
Clearly.
Right?
But right the end there. Of the scene occurs when, of course, June turns around as Rebecca runs out onto the porch and she's pointing a gun at the 10-year-old's face.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrifying.
I think that's when I texted you guys and was like, oh, June's still trying to figure out this whole...
Yes,
like,
I figured that's right where you were at.
How to be the boss with the gun game. And, you know.
I don't know. I just didn't see that happening. Like, I just didn't see June.
I think she was just so freaked out and already aiming and so tensed up and ready to go that whipping around with it still like that seemed natural to me.
Yeah, I got the impression that she wasn't necessarily knowing who was there when she turned around.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was the way I took it. But for more fun, prior to the plan, June and Lawrence have a little chat because June's kind of sulking. Not really proud of herself for pointing the gun at the 10-year-old, which is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Which is good.
Good sign for her mental state.
Yes. It's good to know where your limits are and that you have them. Because I think some people would have questioned that up to this point. But not pulling the trigger on the 10-year-old child who you're trying to help escape was a good...
Good limit.
A good limit. It's where we know where you're at.
And good job, 10-year-old, for not freaking the fuck out.
Right?
Yeah.
No shit. So...
She really wants to be able to pick her own clothes.
She does. Later on, she's like, so this is where I can wear my stuff here?
I know.
Cool. So Lawrence walks in, and he asks about the kid. She's like, she's fine. She's going to be fine, because I'm going to get her out of here. And he's like, yeah, about that. The Martha was spotted with the child. They're going to start searching. So shit's just starting to fall apart, right? This is the beginning. And so Lawrence says, I'm pulling the plug.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
Given the roadblocks and the Martha, all that stuff, I'd have been like, yeah.
Not unless you're June. But if you're June, and this is like literally the only thing you have going for your brain to remain semi-sane.
Right.
To not, at least sane enough not to plug a 10-year-old in the face. You're not going to let the plan go down. not at all. She declines his pulling of the plug.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. I thought, like, she seemed so shaken. I thought that she was going to try to figure out a way to unravel this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You thought she was going to give up on it?
Do a different thing to get them out.
Huh. Nope. Hmm. She's plugging along because, A, I don't think there's time enough to come up with anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
You have,
logistically,
like,
not a good plan.
I mean, you have what turns out to be, like, half the town's Marthas and kids coming to your house to get on a plane. You know, you got to figure out how to make a plan, tell them, and get it out to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I was thinking, and we don't really know, like, did they all come from, like, most of them come from really far away? Because if that was a fairly densely populated area they came from, and they're all from nearby, like, that would be crazy noticeable. And, like, there was some talk about, like, one or two of the Marthas, like, killed the people in their house to get there.
Yep.
And other random gruesome things like that. But... Yes. Still, man, that's a lot of missing kids
and
Marthas.
That's what I was thinking at the end of the season, too.
That was a lot. My husband's argument, too. He was like, no
way they could... How would they have not locked down everything?
Right. He's like, no way all those people could be gone. No one's noticing. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody, you know, not everybody slept through it
when
their Martha and kid left.
Right. Well, you got to figure if you do. So.
But at least they did wait till the
next time. So the first ones, like, she said they came from 14 miles away. So 14 miles is a pretty decent distance to say, okay, at the most they probably had
5 hours of walking.
Right. The most they probably had in that plane was what? Let's say they had like between 60 and 100 kids, right? Because they clearly had more than 52, right? But I'm going to say, I ballparked it at like 100 kids. That's what I, in my head. If you only take 100 kids out of a 14-mile radius, that's still a lot of kids.
This is not the 14-mile radius of today. This is after a war.
Right.
And after
that's true.
Most of the country tried to leave.
Right, that's true.
So I have been under the working assumption that like the population is way less dense in Gilead than it is in modern-day Boston.
That's a good point.
Also, like, they're still house hunting.
That's true.
Like, there's random houses that haven't even been cleaned out.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That must be common. Well,
then we're just going to chalk it up to a whole lot of kids are missing in a...
Not shockingly, Gilead is full of neglectful parents.
Well, you know, maybe the Marthas didn't all, like, sneak them out. Maybe they were like, we're going to go, like, take a walk, see what's happening outside.
After bedtime.
Yeah, you know, like we do.
Alone.
You know?
I don't know.
Who knows what plans they came up with? I don't make these decisions. They do. So, June, who is kind of laying it out there, she's like, no, I'm not. She's not going back. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That is one of those, like, when you text it to someone and you put the periods at the end of every word, that was that sentence. I'm not sending her back so that she can be raped and maimed in this fucked up world that you helped create, which is a fantastic line. A very fuck you, Mr. Lawrence line. Lawrence says she'll be fine because she's a commander's daughter, which I think anyone would laugh at just in general of anyone anywhere at this point being fine in this situation.
All right.
So she's June, who's like, she's taking off the meter that of the fucks that she gives because there's none left. She says, so she's not going to get her clit cut off when she falls in love. And he doesn't really have an answer for that. There's like no response, right? Because how do you answer that question? Like, I feel like it was fairly rhetorical. I believe it was one of the rhetorical questions. And she does kind of break the fourth wall a little bit, looking at us, I think, as viewers. And she's like, no, no, no. Like, it was one of those, like, I swear to God, we're going to get him out. It's going to be okay. I promise. And so June is like,
This can't have been for nothing.
And basically makes a decision. He holds out her hand, which still has a wedding ring on it, by the way. And he says, I've made my decision. June informs him that it's not his decision to make, nor is it his house, by the way, because he says, this is my house. He says it kind of like half-heartedly, like, this is really all I got.
So deflated, like, this is my house.
Right. It almost seems like it should have ended with a question mark.
Yeah,
this is very much my house.
It's mine.
I'm in charge. And June's like, no. She gave him like that, silly goose, you still think this is your house? That's cute. So she tells him, give me a fucking map. And we're going to figure out how to fucking do this. So that's where that scene ends. She more or less just goes, fuck you, guy. This shit's happening one way or another. But she does refer to all men as fucking pathological, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So now back to our luxury Canadian holding facility with Fred.
Yes.
Who is being questioned by a group of women, which I thought was amazing.
Still in a suit, though.
But finally looking a little haggard, right? Looking like he hasn't gotten a shower, shave, or like do anything to make himself feel better in a while.
Could have been worse. Still in a suit.
Yes.
So. It's interesting.
But he's far less oops, I'm sexy than he was last week.
I forgot about oops, I'm sexy.
It's home in prison. Whoops.
Oh,
sexy man alive. So he's talking to a group of women, which I think is funny. Like, if I was the government, I would be like, he only speaks to women. That's all I want him to talk to. I don't want any men talking to him ever because I just want to fuck with his head.
Yeah.
So the first woman that he's talking to, I think, is Micah Brzezinski, who is on MSNBC on the Morning Joe show, Joe Scarborough. It's a
you think? Big, really?
Yeah, I think that's her on the left-hand side.
I think it's Mika, isn't it?
I thought it was Micah. I looked up the pronunciation so I wouldn't fuck it up. So either
Mika
or Micah.
I don't actually watch the show, so I should not be trusted.
But she's married to Joe Scarborough. So there's a couple interesting things about her that I felt just for the
I mostly know who she is because terrible politicians talk about her.
Yes. She used to work at CBS before she started doing the show. She's married to the Joe Scarborough, who's the co-host. She is the daughter of this guy whose name I will not even attempt to pronounce because it starts with a Z and ends with a W. And there's lots of consonants in between. Zbigniew Brzezinski. He was a diplomat and a political scientist. He worked with LBJ and Jimmy Carter. And he was kind of he dealt with a lot of international kind of stuff that would be like this kind of stuff that they're dealing with.
Interesting. So I wonder if like the showrunners thought like, hey, she would be fascinating to have here because of that, or if she was like, hey, I love this show and you're about to do a thing that I'm really into.
I kind of wondered. I mean, because like he would have been dealing, because some of the stuff that he said that he was around for, because he wasn't an official, he was a diplomat, and then he like counseled them. He wasn't like an official guy in the cabinet or anything.
Gotcha.
But he was like around for when the Iranian Revolution took over. He was around for when the U.S. first started talking to China again, or at all, I think. And so there's a lot of this kind of intrigue of, you know, different countries that were either, you know, were our friends and now aren't, or were our enemies and now we're on, you know, speaking terms of some sort. So it was pretty interesting that she was there. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's who that was. So Fred sees Captain walking by and he's a little distracted because there's Captain, the guy who's ruined his life. Well, Serena's really the person who's ruined his life. So Captain comes in. Fred says he needs to add something to the captain's plea. And it's time for Fred to sell Serena out. I think we all knew that that was coming. As soon as he said, hey, I got a little something for you. But Captain says, there's nothing to put on my plate because everything Serena did was coerced. And it's so funny to be a viewer of the show, obviously, and knowing that him saying Serena had no power was kind of an amusing statement to say. And I kind of felt like Fred had that look in his face when he was like, she'd, you know, was coerced into everything and had no power. I kind of felt like Fred wanted to be like, you gotta be kidding me, right? Seriously. And so he says that what she did was beyond the laws of Gilead and the laws of God. So I still wasn't quite sure what he was going to tell her about.
I wasn't either.
My brain was going to the raping of June, like when they held her down.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that still could be considered part of their ceremony situation.
Structure.
I did not think that they were going to. I didn't think he was smart enough to pull.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
This
Me
is
too.
Still rape out of my and maybe that maybe he learned that just reading their law library. Maybe
I know like, that like oh that's rape on. Too.
I wrote here. Fred has access to the law library. Come on, people.
Well, not a very well thought out holding facility.
Maybe he was like going to R. Rape. Let's see. What are all the legal definitions? Wait, we got one. I figured that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he has had a lot of time to think in there.
He has a lot of time.
But yeah, I was still shocked. I was like, what?
He did.
This is his one great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the best thing he's done. All right. So now we got to try to find our way to the airport next scene. So they decide they're going to walk. That's the most direct route. The good thing they let CNN on the plan because she's the one that says, hey, why don't we just walk? So I feel like that's the only reason she was in on the plan.
It was 3 miles or 5 miles?
I think it was five.
Five, okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure Rebecca's like, five more fucking miles? Are you kidding? Jesus, guys. I just walked from Lexington and now I'm going to walk to the airport.
I just want to wear a pair of jeans, some leggings maybe,
something that's not pink.
Even jeggings.
I'll do jeggings.
Comfortable shoes.
So they start hearing the dog bark outside. And so June goes out to check it out. And this is like when the Martha wave happens. So the people who knew what time the party started and have an idea of what time you're supposed to get to the party are finally showing up. We get them all coming in. Rita shows up with another Martha because she said she was in last week. She just shows up with a Martha with
so
a baby.
Happy to see
and
Rita.
You're like, I know. Of course, Rita showed up with the Martha with the infant. You know, somehow, man. She's like, hey, she killed her.
Yeah. Rita's like, we fucking did
she earned
that.
It.
Yeah.
Rita's like, some shit went down. Like, they weren't going to let her leave. Well, like, of course, they're not going to let her leave. They're like, hey, can I get a day pass to get your kid out of this hellhole? No? No? Okay.
Yeah.
You're dead. So now, it's time to locomote, basically. So this next part of this is they are on the road, taking their time along the path with the children in the dark of night. And they're tying ripped sheets, I think it was, to the trees so they can everybody can not get lost on the way, because that's the last thing you need is like some 5-year-old kid wandering around in the middle of the street and ruining the plan. And so then we're back to Captain Frida Pants and Serena in the moment of glory that I was pretty sure it was coming because I did not see a world on the anywhere where Serena got off.
I did not think it was going to happen anything like this, though.
Mm. No, not like this. I did not see this coming. This was a very bold.
This genuinely shocked
me. This was
me.
A surprising move.
Well, and it was quite a moment, too. It's not like she was hanging out.
Yeah. No. And, yeah, she looked like she was kind of outside in like a, you know, hey, you can hang out here kind of outdoors-ish area with the kids.
Still in the facility, but outdoors.
Yeah, but outdoors, like a courtyard type thing, yeah. So he interrupts Serena's time with the baby. Kevin Freedom's like, I need you to take the baby. And Serena's like, what's going on, Mr. Did she call him Mark? I think she called him Mark. At some point, she called him Mark or Mr. Tuello. She didn't call him
Agent. She calls him Mr. Tuello sometimes.
I thought she called him Mark, but I could be wrong about that. So she's like, hey, what's all this about? And he's like, you're under arrest for rape. And she was like, no, see, what had happened was I already talked to you about that, all that, and I was forced and coerced, and bad things happened to me, and I'm not awful like you think I am. And he said, oh, wait, but yes, you are.
But it's, remember this other time that you were equally awful, and which, you made these two people have sex, and then, surprise, that's rape.
And then she's like, and then she pulls out, but they had a relationship.
They were in love.
It was like that last ditch. But they like each other. And then he said, it's still rape, Mrs. Waterford. And the captain looks genuinely sad. Like, he was like, oh, well, there goes my shot with Serena.
I know, right? He looks pretty disappointed.
Which he's I don't know what that says about him.
She is a horrible person after all. Dang.
I know, right? It's, I don't even know what to make of that. Because you got to think he knew a little bit about what was going on before. And I get that she's an attractive woman. I get it. I understand. But much like there is a limit to where your sanity is good when you don't plug the 10-year-old in the face with a gun, I feel like not falling in love with Serena Joy.
He doesn't know, though.
He's got to know something.
He doesn't know how horrible she has been in Gilead. Gilead does not tell the rest of the world how things are going.
That
but other people have
they do
told.
Not share information about.
But the
that.
Refugees would have told them all the stuff.
Who would have told them about Serena Joy specifically?
Moira.
No.
Emily.
No.
Other people.
Moira did not know.
Damn it, Tiana.
Well, and
Captain should have known.
Captain Freedom Pants, or Joel, as I like to call him. People in those types of professions, like the protective savior type. Right. Professions like women like Serena, because I think he sees himself as like, I'm saving you because
I
like that, and that's part of my personality and what I want.
He's a fixer.
And
he is like out to save this highly intelligent, interesting woman who he sees as a victim
and
of circumstance.
A victim of all these bad men, so I'm going to be the good man that can turn your life around.
She also happens to be very good looking and tall and looks like a ballerina and, you know, all those things. Doesn't
all those
hurt.
Things are true.
But
those things are true.
There's that too.
So yeah, that was the shocker. I think that was probably the most surprising thing in this whole episode was, like, I was pretty sure she was going to go down somehow, whether it was now or next season or whenever, because she did too much shit for her to not have some kind of punishment somewhere. But I did not see Fred pulling this out of his ass in whatever way he did.
I really wanted her to get the punishment and, like, get her comeuppance, but I also kind of thought it might not ever happen.
I didn't see it going down this way.
No, this was a genuine shocker for me, too. All right, so back to the Marthas and the kids on the move. June and the Marthas, they come to the next house, which I guess there was supposed to be, I guess, two. It seemed like there was only two. Like, you know, hey, we're going to meet here. But they were supposed to have their lamp on, like they did at the other house, to let you know, hey, it's cool to come in. But someone either forgot to turn the lamp on, or they thought maybe the lamp would be too suspicious at this point with all the other, you know, insane shit that's been going on. So they have to decide, hey, are we going to go check out this house that doesn't seem to be ready for us to be in it yet? But they decide to, because I don't really think at that point you have an option.
Yeah, they don't really have another choice.
Yeah. So they walk in, and it's, like, chock full of Marthas and kids. And you're like, and Beth, I think that's when she says, that's way more than 52. She's like, oh my God, how are we going to get all these people out of here? And so it is just crazy. It's such a beautifully, like, shot scene, the way they did it. Like, very, like, gather around children, like, almost like it's like somebody reading the Christmas story. Like, all these kids around.
Definitely.
Him, right? And so Lawrence is there, and he's reading from Treasure Island is what he's reading.
I
had to take some dialogue and be like, what the fuck is this? Because I never read Treasure Island. It's not my jam.
It's mentioned in Lord of the Flies, and so I knew what it was about, and I thought that's what it might be. But I've never read Treasure Island either.
That's what it was. And so we're trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. But this is apparently the next place we're supposed to, like, meet up before they go to the next place. But then Janine shows up and is like, hey, not only did someone spot your Martha, but now they've arrested your Martha that escaped, Maggie, who you didn't shoot.
Or
tackle.
Out.
Or bop on the head.
Like, or anything.
Yes, for real. And so now June's like, okay, what do we do? Oh, yes, I guess we got to go.
Got to leave.
It's time
right,
to.
Right now.
Everybody look them up. Get the kids rolling. And so Lawrence and June have this moment before they leave, which was kind of cool. He very sarcastically, I felt like this was a very Justin moment. It was like, you said you weren't going to be any trouble. She's like, I lied. And so it was just pretty funny. And so they have this conversation about what Eleanor would have wanted, and because June wants him to come with her. And he rather, whether that's, you know, I don't want to go to jail when I get out of here, or legitimately he wants to, you know, clean up his own mess, which is what he said Eleanor would have wanted him to do. Which I think is probably a better play overall.
I agree.
Yeah.
You got him on the inside, you know, hopefully, unless he ends up on the wall. God only knows.
Well.
Because here's the one thing. There's the other thing that's mentioned in the book that we haven't seen yet, but that we know has got to be coming at some point, is when they do, it's not called the Purge.
Before.
It's not the salvaging. It's different. I forget what it's called, where they basically take all the commanders kind of at random and say, okay, you were clearly doing something bad, whether they could prove it or not, and they just kind of clean house and kill everybody. And we haven't seen one of those yet. So I kind of wonder if after, you know, say about 100 kids go missing in any given, you know, municipality in Gilead.
This would be an opportune time for them to do that.
And given that they had already kind of talked about it, right, with Winslow and Fred talking
That's true.
That. But although
I was totally under the impression that was just Winslow and Fred.
You are correct.
Gabbing.
And
making their own little plans. Right.
Unless, I mean, they had to have some conversation after that with people in Gilead in order to get that ceremony thing to happen. So unless they decided to talk to somebody after that, everybody in that room is in Canada right now. Well, or dead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or dead.
Sorry, Winslow. I didn't mean to put you in Canada when you're not there.
Or what if Lawrence suggests it?
Mm.
Oh.
So that he is in on the decision making and purging.
You are a smart cookie. That's why we like
that would
you.
Be
and
cool.
And Lawrence
right?
is actually smart enough to do
that
something
would be cool.
Like that.
All right. Yeah. And that's. Oh, I like that a lot. All right. So.
He could get rid of Putnam. He does not seem to like Putnam.
No. Nobody seems to like Putnam.
Nobody does. I was just going to say, no one does.
Such a dislikable character. They're such a dislikable family.
He's a weasel.
But, yeah, so they have this moment. They're kind of saying goodbye to each other. And they're
she wishes them well.
She wishes them well. And she, like, takes this deep breath. It's like, here we go.
So 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3, go. And so we're back on the road for the next scene. So this is the leading the kids through the path and... Like, the thing that struck me watching this finally was, like, just the quantity of people that were involved in this operation where you're watching it and you're like, holy shit.
They just keep coming.
They're just kids. And, you know, it was one of these things, like, it was this kind of triumphant women helping women do a thing moment, which was awesome because who else can they rely on in this fucking terrible place? So it was great to see, like... The handmaids and the Marthas and helping the kids, and it was just really cool to see that whole grouping.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see them like saving themselves.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like you had to take it into your own hands. So they,
yes, like there are no knights coming in on a horse to save people. Nope. Like it's the people who are being oppressed and treated horribly rising up to do their own thing and get out.
Yeah, and that was another good thing. Other than Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence was kind of dragged into
it.
It's not like he was like, I'm going to save you all because I've realized the error of my ways.
But he also could have, you know, turned on them at some point. I mean, he would have had to give up himself, essentially, to
That's
do
true.
That, probably.
I'm just not willing to praise him for doing the humane thing.
Right, no, I agree. But yeah, there was no, like, insider savior moment, right? There was nobody, like, working for him on the inside that helped him kind of complete the task after they left the house. Like, doing all the hard stuff, which was getting a bajillion kids through the woods, getting to the place, figuring out how to get the kids over to the place while there's a guardian guy there. Like, none of that happened because, oh, you know, Joe Guardian was on the inside and helped us do it. It was really, literally, all them doing it on their own, figuring it out from beginning to end, which was awesome. So, June... And this whole group of Marthas, it tells Beth that she needs to take the children and follow the fence because they get to the airstrip. And of course, right when they get to the airstrip, there is a
armored
a guardian vehicle, guy who's like, oh, hey, look at this gate. I'm going to lock it up. And so then they're like, fuck, because that's where they were going to go. So she tells them, you know, take these kids, go follow the fence, figure out a place to go. I'll make sure that they don't see you. And then you're like, oh,
self-sacrifice.
Shit.
Oh, you knew it was coming.
Well,
though.
You did. You did.
I didn't know how they were going to do that without killing her because I knew she wasn't going to die.
Yeah,
so that
at
was
first I was like, what is she going to like run out into the middle of the open? And well, I don't understand.
Well, you got to remember, she's got her gun in her 2016 vintage Ann Crabtree original calf high leather boots. She's got it stuffed in there. So, got to remember that. Don't forget that.
Yeah, the baby was stressing me out, guys.
The baby?
Oh, God, like, of course they had to throw
the
baby
cry.
In
It's going to cry. I was like, don't be the end of MASH.
No, that baby.
I was just going to say the end of MASH. Like, don't. And that's all I could think about.
That baby had the Benadryl. That's what that baby got.
Another old reference.
That baby was asleep.
Better
be. Fussing a little. I got
it
worried.
It was fussing. I was like, of course they put a baby in this scene. I'm freaking out.
So, at this point, you're like, oh, shit, some stuff's about to go down.
Oh, totally.
But now, again, if you read the book and you listen to the interview, pretty sure she's not going to die. But if you didn't...
Make it less scary.
It doesn't make it less intense scary. Or scary. So June is talking to Rebecca right before they're supposed to go, and she's like, tells her she's sorry that it's been so hard. Shouldn't have to be this hard. Nothing ever should have to be this hard. She says sometimes... Rebecca says, you know, sometimes you have to do the things that you have to do. Which I thought was a lot
very
introspective for a 10-year-old. But, you know, we'll take it for TV. So June hands her off to Rita and, like, is like, hey, Rita, I need you to take care of her. I need you to get all these kids. And Rita's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Please don't do whatever you are thinking of doing.
Stop it right now.
But June makes her promise, and she does. And then Janine's like, are you sure? Because Janine's like, I can do some crazy shit if you want me to do some things. And she's like, no, I got it. I got this. I got this.
I can go full on Janine in this scenario. And
she does.
Full credit to my husband. He totally predicted it. He's like, oh, yeah.
She's
Janine's coming back. And I was like, you're right.
Janine's like, nobody's doing some crazy shit that might get him killed if I'm not doing it. It's not happening.
I'm not going to miss this.
Nope. This is like her ultimate brave little, space pirate moment. I'm not going to miss out on this shit.
Janine's not Janine if she just hangs out and doesn't do things.
This is the rock toss, as I've called this scene. So that she makes her way kind of down the road farther so that she can basically distract this guy so that they can get across the road. And so she grabs a rock. Because I was even wondering, I'm like, what the fuck is she going to do? Like, she grabs a rock and then she prays for the rock. She puts it to her head and she's like, I can only imagine this prayer that's taking place in your head. It's like, please, Jesus, let this rock hit this guy in his head and kill him.
Like the wind. Fly like the wind, rock.
Like very David and Goliath. Like,
hit him in the temple.
Dear baby Jesus.
Kill his ass.
Please, Jesus. Just one. I know I'm not supposed to ask for that. I know.
No murder is wrong.
I know. But like, I feel like I got to pass here, right?
Just this one time, please murder.
But before she could do it, Janine and her whole crew of people show up.
Mm-hmm.
Janine's like, nuh-uh, sister. Not without me.
We're together.
If we're doing some crazy shit, let me show you how to do it right.
We doing this.
Because I still got to sue some motherfuckers so I can get my beach house. And so they just start chucking rocks at the dude.
Yeah.
And might I add, they got some good arms on him.
And they were significant rocks. I mean, they weren't skipping pebbles that you throw at the lake.
These are like fist-size rocks. And so a couple of them get shot because he finally decides, oh, I should probably shoot in the general direction of the rocks that are flying at me. And so one gets shot. I think all we see is like a Martha, a couple people get shot, but they're kind of not identified.
Yeah.
So we're not sure who they are.
You just see the bodies basically.
Right. And so then June and Janine are laying on the ground and kind of share this moment. Like, you know, June's like about to do something extra crazy and Janine decides to let her have this one.
Yeah.
And so June kind of moves farther out into the guy's spotlight and is like, hey, look at me. I'm right here. And then she takes off. And so the guy just starts shooting and chasing her. And this scene is crazy. Clearly he went to stormtrooper shooting school, but it was dark. So I'll give her that. which is fine, but he does hit her like on the third shot, which,
he does.
You know, given that that he's surprised, he's on the run, you know, not bad, all things considered, I'd say. So he does shoot her and she goes down. But I was pretty sure that this was how this was going to go. I was very happy that this is how it went. So she pulled.
It was a very Princess Leia moment.
Yes, it was very. So she falls down and as soon as the dude flips her over, she shoots him in the chest, his stomach-ish area. And then smartly, which there is zero chance that Justin in this situation would have thought to say, hey, call the all clear. Justin would have got up and shot the guy in his face.
Yeah,
just
not
period.
A chance.
Just
that. Yeah, I would have said.
Not a chance.
No. Which so is that June is in full boss mode, which is great. Because somebody's got to be. Because I would have just
been shooting. Yeah.
I would have emptied all of the bullets into his face.
And then I'd grab his rifle and shoot him some more with his rifle.
Exactly what I imagined I would do.
Done. But the all clear was so smart.
Yeah, just all three of us doing some irrational shit. That's why we'd be dead.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go.
I've said many times I'd have been dead in this world.
And so, but before she does shoot him in the face, she does tell him thank you for calling the all clear. Right before she shoots him in the face, which I thought was a nice touch.
I missed that. But
which I don't think you would get from, you know, a man's not going to tell you thank you before he shoots you in the face. Geez. Nope. Nope.
Another thing I wouldn't have done. Nope. If I had remembered to have him say the all clear,
thank you,
then I wouldn't have immediately. But in that case, as this guy, I would not have done that. I would have been like, no, you're going to shoot me either way. I'm not doing that shit. And I'd immediately got in the air and been like, the handmaid in the forest, go get me. Because he's dying either way. He has to know that she's going to immediately shoot him after the all clear.
I was like, does he think that he's going to
be okay? They have a low opinion of women, so maybe he thinks she can't go through with it. Even though she's already shot him.
She just proved that.
I'm with you. I'm just saying,
if I was that guard, I'd have been like, shot.
But also, you got to think, like, what happens to him if he, like, gets shot by a handmaid? What goes back on at Guardian's headquarters?
That's a good point. Does I he guess end he up figured on the wall? Maybe I'll do one nice thing before I die, because I'm dying no matter what.
Right. They're going to kill me no matter what is, like,
true.
Here's an example of what happens if you don't do your job right in the first place.
That's a good point.
So
they also didn't start shooting right away when the rocks got thrown.
Yes.
And, like, the rocks were thrown for a while.
Well, and he calls for help before he does anything, which is really interesting to me. So, like, when the rocks first start flying, like, he kind of falls behind the into the door, and he yells help first, which is generally, like, there's clearly no one there.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, are people going to come out of, like, the darkness? Is there somebody here that we don't know about?
It did not seem to be anybody around.
Because it
kind
of didn't seem like it.
No. And so I thought that was a little, like...
Looked like random patrol dude.
It sounded like what a little kid would say if all of a sudden somebody started throwing rocks at him. So, yeah, clearly the type of person we're dealing with, maybe not the toughest, bravest guy.
The sharpest, toughest guy.
I also did love, nice touch, that he was smoking a cigarette like a bad 80s movie action guy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I totally thought of, what's the Christmas time movie?
Die Hard?
Yeah.
Yep. They were all very much like 1980s like, action movie guys. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing an important thing, but I gotta smoke. So I'm not gonna look in that general direction. Convenient. But now the moment we've all been waiting for, because June is laying out on the ground, because she has been shot, legitimately has been shot. She did not fake it, which I was wondering the whole time. But she sees the plane take off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out whether it was coming in or going out, but I guess the direction it was going, we were fairly confident it was taking off. Because I wasn't sure if we were going to get, like, some more drama back at the airfield.
Well, I also didn't get the impression that was a super busy airport. Like, that's kind of, I assume that was the only plane around.
That's probably true. And so then we're off to Canada for the moment of truth, right?
Oh,
man. This is when I start crying.
Is when I start crying
more.
Brutal.
I can't even talk about it, but I will.
I couldn't even, like, I cried telling Nikki about the episode after I watched it.
Has
like,
she watched it yet? She's watching it tomorrow?
I don't think she's watched it yet.
Oh, she needs to see it.
And I was like...
A little girl.
So, Moira, Luke, Emily, and a ton of volunteers. So they obviously knew they were coming somehow or the other. Like, either that was coordinated through them to begin with, or...
That,
like,
was my question.
Maybe the pilot called them and said, hey, got a plane full of folks.
Yeah, I was hoping that it was, like...
what I thought it was.
Pilot.
The plane got on. Pilot got on there.
I assumed it had to be like a Canadian pilot.
I mean,
but
you
I don't
can
know.
Fly anywhere if you got a plane. So you don't have to be Canadian necessarily. But it'd be interesting to see, like, where was that plane originating from in the first place? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Maybe it's one that Martha's flying.
Like, that would side be awesome. Comment here, but something I thought of after the show was over. So Lawrence is still alive. June's still alive. And Billy is owed a lot of art.
Yeah.
And
that's
just kind of a funny thing to think about. But you're like, Billy's gonna be like, yeah,
heard
hey,
you got some Monets.
Billy, June's friend, here for the all the art.
But and also, they're gonna find out what happened on that plane, and that Billy was a part of that.
Are they?
I don't know. Billy's
I don't know.
Running.
I feel like if anybody is not going to obviously be found out, it's probably Billy.
That's a good point.
Billy's a sneaky little shit.
He really is. He really is.
So,
he survived this long.
Yeah.
He's
scrappy dude.
It's clearly not his first rodeo. The plane pulls up. Moira's kind of getting everybody coordinated because she's there with everybody.
And you can tell she's like amped.
It's
like
funny.
You can see her
Yeah.
Freaking out.
And not that this really wouldn't happen the way it happened, but it was very much one of these TV, like, hey, the gang's all here moments. It's like,
yes, everybody's Emily here. And Moira and, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they knew that was happening, I.
But that's a that would be super real. Significant event.
Yes. This is clearly given, huge.
Like, you get up off the couch for that one. Yeah. Like, yeah. You get a phone call.
Well,
about
and
that.
Clearly, when they see inside just how many people it is, they're still shocked.
Right.
Like, they did not expect that to happen.
So, the plane pulls up. Moira gets in the plane and is like, chock full of kids. And to my knowledge, I think Rita was the only Martha that I, unless we saw more get off that
I didn't. So I thought there was.
There was a bunch with June in the woods, though.
Yeah, that's true.
There was.
I thought not there were a few Marthas in the plane when she looked in, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Because I looked like, for that purpose, I was like, oh, I don't really see. Like anybody that jumped out to me as, oh, I'm another Martha, other than I knew Rita was there. I figured she was.
She had the baby.
Yeah. And so that'll be interesting to see like what other Marthas go out. And the other implication for this is what does this mean for Fred and Serena now that Rita, who fucking knows everything, is in Canada? And
yeah,
can...
yeah. I'll really enjoy seeing her talking to Mr. Twillo.
Oh, that will be outstanding. I'm gonna need some great.
Yeah, I really want some nice shots of her like sipping her tea.
Oh yeah.
Given all the details.
Oh yeah. When does she get to punch Fred?
Ooh,
or Serena.
Yeah.
Or both. Anyway. So Moira gets on and much like we are, is like, holy shit, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah. Even some boys.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting too that some of the girls had the wife colors on, blue, and not just the pink.
Oh.
I didn't notice.
Which, if it,
but
the
okay.
first time I watched it, I didn't notice at all because you
I didn't notice.
Because the first
it's
time
just
you watch
so
it,
many.
You're like, oh my God. And you're like, oh my God. But the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, like some of them had the pink thing that we've seen a few times. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones had like basically like the same kind of thing.
The
not
blue?
As knit, but blue, like Commander
Yikes.
Wife blue.
Oh, and wait. So did I see boys in there or did I see girls wearing blue?
You might have seen girls wearing blue because I did not see what I would have said were boys
okay.
at all. So maybe that was the first round. Girls first. Ladies first.
Yeah. In that situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You go first.
Yep.
And so Rebecca gets off the plane, but before she does, she wants to know, hey, miss, is this a place where I can wear what I want? Speaking for every 10-year-old girl in the entire plane.
10-year-olds like, care a lot.
Like maybe they were on the way up and they're all like, okay, what are we going to ask her when she walks in the plane? Let's figure it out. We got to have one person.
I heard you
one,
guys.
Let's take a boat. Okay. Do we get to have candy? What do we get to wear? Okay, we're going to do what do we get? Do we get to wear what we want? That's the one we're going to go with.
And all right, so, ready, go, Rebecca.
All right, Rebecca, you're it. Okay. And then, like, bam, do I get to wear what I want?
A little mini student government
yes.
on the plane. Rebecca, you're our representative.
Yes, so Rebecca gets off the plane, and Moira gives her the blanket, and then her dad is there, who I assume is her father.
Oh, God, yeah. And he, like, hears her voice and turns.
Right, yes. And the other interesting thing here
Don't
is, like,
even say
at,
it.
That whole moment, like, Moira asks her, what's your name? And she starts talking, and it kind of seemed like to me she was going to say, like, I don't remember, or, like, I, because she was five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they gave her a different name, obviously, than what her name was.
Yeah, I was wondering if, like, all of the kids were aware that their present name was not their actual name.
Right.
Like, I was like, maybe you need to be a little more specific talking to these kids.
Because that's when her dad, I assume, yells out, Rebecca, and you see, like, this light bulb moment kind of in her face, like, oh, yeah I'm Rebecca. And then
I
she
remember.
Looks out and sees her dad, and I can't talk about it right now. Stop that. You
stop
crying.
Talking.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Literally.
So then she, you stop. You
I just didn't see it coming at all. Really
yeah, no,
didn't.
Me either.
And then you pan over to
amazing.
Luke.
No, we're not talking about Luke yet.
Oh,
I'm not
man.
There yet.
Yeah.
Damn it, Bruce.
It was the look on his face.
It was hard.
That was the one. Like, so that whole, the whole Rebecca and her dad, that was great. And then they shot to Luke, and I was like, you know what, Luke? I didn't even fucking think about you until literally
right
this moment.
And it's like he never, it's as if he didn't imagine that there was a possibility that his daughter could be on
and
the
he
plane.
Is like, and so
and
I also.
And then he has the puppy dog look
but then
for the rest of that scene.
And then he like,
no,
keeps
so the,
looking for
the
her.
Other thing that I noticed because I rewatched today was as the kids are filing off the plane and he, you see that moment where he's like got that look in his face and you're like, oh shit, he's like looking for Hannah or Gina or both.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck. And that is like, that's when it was just like, that was probably the most emotionally crushing, you know, part. But then as he turns, you hear him and he says it kind of to himself under his breath. He says, come on, Hannah. And he's like, almost, yeah. He's like, please let her be on here. And then like the plane is empty and she is not there. And you're just like,
it didn't even occur to me that Luke would even imagine that Hannah would be on that plane. Yeah. But of course he would.
Because why wouldn't he?
Especially after he sees somebody
right
and realize their kid was on that plane, then it's a very real possibility.
Yeah, because that's when he
he gets the puppy dog face. Sees, like, is my person on there too?
Right, he sees Rebecca and her dad. Like,
well, and June sent him the tapes saying that that was her only goal.
Right.
And wouldn't Hannah be about that girl's age now?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And June was, and Rita was like, she did this. That was a little afterward, but like, knowing that June had a hand in it,
right.
Why wouldn't Hannah
be
on the plane?
Yeah, he doesn't know that she's been moved and nobody knows where she is.
Like, Luke walks out of here with like way more questions than answers.
Right.
Which is awful.
But don't you think he probably really wants to talk to Rita?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, no, Emily sees Rita, and the best part of this whole thing is she yells Rita. And Rita has this look on her face like, who the fuck knows my name?
Yeah.
Like, she is about to punch somebody in the face. That was, like, the impression that I got. Like, she's like, oh, shit. Like, why does anybody know my name here right now? Like, somebody was about to come get her. And she was like, nuh-uh, where? Yeah. Who? And she was like, oh, okay.
It's you.
It's like, you're it's going to be all right. But, yeah, then she sees Luke, and they embrace. And that's another one where you're like, because she's, like, telling him that June made it all happen. And the Luke thing broke me. I was like, I was already broken like majority of times in this episode, but that one I was like, because you don't even like it, he is a character that in that, even with what's happening, like, given that you should even think about that, you don't even, it doesn't even cross your mind until you see that moment and you're like, oh,
they were counting on that.
They were. Mm-hmm. They're so smart.
Bruce
so, you got us.
Shake your fist. Yeah, damn it, Bruce. You got us. Yeah. A couple times in this one.
I don't know. I didn't think about it during watching the show. It just occurred to me now. Like, most of my favorite characters now live in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you haven't been able to see a ton of them this semester, this season, because they've been in Canada and they don't always go to Canada. So you've been really missing your favorite characters.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And now Emily and Moira and Rita are all in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, now I really need to see more Canada.
Yeah, shit's gonna go. There'll be a lot more Canada next year, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, and they're all like super powerhouse actresses that are just incredible.
Yeah, it's.
Oh man, it would be great.
A lot of high end talent up there in Canada.
It would be fantastic to get a good Serena Joy and Rita scene.
Oh,
awesome. So many possibilities now.
Gonna be awesome. So the end. We go back to the woods. With June, and this shot that they open this scene with is fucking awesome, because they like pan across the dude who's dead, and the camera's like turning from going a pan shot to an overhead shot, but we also see with the other handmaids coming to rescue June, and so whoever did that was fucking brilliant. I was like,
well, first I don't even know if I realized it was handmaids at first.
Well, because they were all wearing red, so I just assumed when you're seeing it. But yeah, so it goes from like this pan across shot to tilting over her and showing her, and she's still alive, that we know. And she gives this, so they come rescue her, and Janine and Alma and the other handmaid that we recognize and a couple that we don't. And they kind of lift her up. They got her like a blanket situation. Like,
no, they're using her cloak.
Oh, was it her cloak?
Okay. It's her cloak.
Okay.
They didn't put anything under her.
No, really. So they just lifted her up with
Her cloak, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell. So she's, you know, we get our obligatory overhead close-up of June's face shot. And she's doing the, I wrote down the Bible verse. This is Exodus. She's doing a paraphrase version of Exodus 3:7 about how the Lord saw his people in bondage and going to release them from the people who have them in the bondage. And the song playing, for those of you keeping score at home, is Mazzy's Star, Into the Dust. Because it started and I was like, or Into Dust. And I was like, I know this song. Well, I don't know this song. I know this song. What is this song? Like, it was like one of those that like my subconscious brain was like, we know this. My music nerd brain was like, we know this, but we don't know what it is. This sucks. Figure out what it is.
It's gonna bother you.
So we Googled it, and it's Mazzy Star, Into Dust. So that's it.
I was so drained at this point.
I know. I was too. I was like way too worked up to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But also so exhausted.
Yeah. I drove to work right after this, because I watched it early in the morning.
You did.
I drove to work in like silence. I was just like,
can't listen to anything after that.
Like, just, it was just in my, I was just like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
I couldn't do anything but talk about my feelings for the remainder of the night.
Everybody else at my house was already asleep.
Right. Oh, see.
So I was just like sitting there with my dog, like, whoa, Sadie, what just happened?
Yeah, at least I got to like get up and go out and talk to the rest of the world.
No, I just totally bugged the heck out of Tim because Tim was like, so do you want to watch Veep? Or like, maybe I heard about this other show. And I was like, yeah, okay, we can do that. And then right before he pressed play, I was like, I'm just feeling so sad. And he's like, okay. And he just turns off the TV. He's like,
I can see this is not going to happen tonight.
Yeah, let's just settle right in.
Because I feel like Veep, this is what I picture. I picture Tim, if he would have started Veep, I picture Tim watching Veep and Sarah like staring off into space, just contemplating what she just watched. And Tim's over here laughing at Veep going, yeah, that's funny. And she's just like.
And then he sees me and just immediately is like, stop.
But Hannah wasn't on the plane.
Right. Sarah just bursts into tears and some funny thing happens and Sarah just like bursts. Like, what?
He's used to it now. He's used to it.
This is what the show has brought you to.
All right. So let's talk about what we don't know, because hashtag Team Nick people are going to be very, very, very unthrilled at the fact that.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about hoping to hear, not from me, but from a lot of other people, of talk about hoping to see some Nick or like Nick coming in and making a big difference in whatever does happen in this episode. And there was nothing.
Yeah.
Zero radio Nick. Silence from Nick.
Nope.
In like five episodes, we have not seen him.
Has it only been five episodes?
You're like, I didn't notice. It was so great.
All right, I know. The silence of his silence was, you know. So overwhelming, I couldn't even handle it. I don't know. I think it made sense to not inject another thing.
Yeah,
because it felt like making her sole focus being this mission to get out.
Absolutely. And he would have either been in the way or been trying to make it successful because of himself.
Right.
And I feel like either of those things would have been a total disservice to this point in the story.
Right. And or June does something stupid because of some kind of Nick factor. In the plan.
Nick factor.
Well, you know, love does stupid shit to you. So, you know, who knows what you're going to fuck up. So I feel like kind of distilling it down to the sole purpose of what she was doing was...
just the really important stuff.
Now, I did see, and I don't know how official any of this was, but somebody... There are a couple sites out there on the internets that a lot of people use that have, like, fan sites for TV shows where people will upload the, like, official publicity photos that come from like Hulu or Netflix or whoever, because they do that. And we have access to those. So like for the last three episodes, there have been zero photos since episode 10. There have been no publicity, official publicity photos put out on the site where you go to get those. But this person had found some and had a bunch of them that showed various Nick type things happening. That they either cut out of the show, allegedly. Again, I don't know how
official
any of it was.
Maybe it was just filming for the beginning of next season.
It could have been.
It makes sense to do some of that stuff that's going to roll right into it, like, at the same time.
Right, and it also makes sense to have filmed something, but then went, no, let's not do that, and not insert another storyline. So I thought it was interesting, and it showed some... I won't tell anybody what show, because it's not official. I don't know whether, you know, any of it is real or not. But, yeah, so it was real interesting. So we don't know about Nick. Nick's kind of we don't know where Hannah's at. As far as, you know, what's going to be the ramifications for Lawrence? What's he going to have up his sleeve to try and fix his own shit and hopefully work to get Gilead, you know, in a different direction?
I'm very curious to see what happens to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As far as the Canadian thing goes, that's going to be fucking fascinating.
Super fun.
Because, I remembered, you know, our first interview with Bruce, he was like, I'm really intrigued by doing, like, a Nuremberg trials of, you know, he's like, I really want
to... Maybe it'll be of Serena.
It'll be both of them, I would imagine.
Yeah, the box. Gotta put them in the box.
Put them in the bulletproof box. Yeah, so that'll be super interesting. And, like, all the ramifications of all of the things. Because Luke's going to be super pissed off that, you know, Hannah wasn't there and that June's not there and not knowing... When he finds out that not only is Hannah not on the plane, but that no one knows where the hell she is to begin with, that's going to not go over well, as it shouldn't.
Yeah.
And also, like, what happens to Nicole?
Yeah.
The baby.
Do you think Rita knows that June
shot who?
That June was shot.
Oh.
Because she would have been,
I don't think so.
Going at the time, so she probably didn't see it.
Yeah, she would have been.
But she did know that she was being shot at.
Yes, yes. Because that's where they were crossing the road. So, I don't know. There's a lot hanging in the air. Once again.
But also, when June and the handmaids go back to Gilead?
Like, yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, I was wondering where they were taking her.
Are they going back to Gilead? If so, what?
They're still in Gilead.
Well, but
in Boston, yeah.
What happens there? I don't know. We were just in the woods near the time that the plane took off. But we don't know.
Don't mind the blood.
Right. What's happening?
Well, you got to think the Lawrence house is still a friendly place to be. You would hope at that point.
But, you know, Lydia was...
Is it even still there? Right. I feel like by this time it's probably just full of eyes.
But remember, Lydia was talking about her going to a different commander.
Yep.
Are they just going to put her with a different commander now pretend like she had no role in getting, like, 100 children out of Gilead?
I can't imagine that would happen.
How is this going to happen when they come back?
Even if they don't know for a fact it was her, I think surely they will assume...
That and she had Lawrence's gun. She unloaded that thing in an eye or a guard or whatever. Yeah. So,
doing ballistics? Are we doing
probably
ballistics?
Think they do ballistics in?
Oh, they're pro science.
They have random technology.
Yeah, that's true.
They do have technology.
So are they gonna? How are they gonna not know that June shot this guard? Yeah. And that's gonna be a problem.
That is gonna be a problem. There's lots of problems caused by everything that happened here for a lot of people.
I'm just saying, like, if we're still following June and that's our home base, so to speak. How is that gonna look for her?
Yep.
Because
now Tiana just made me think something. God.
Sorry.
Because Tiana got all technical. She got all technical. It was usually like is my role in pulling out this kind of shit.
True.
She said that the tapes are in Maine.
Yeah, we don't know that she was in Maine. In the place where they found the tape ever.
We just know.
We just know that they found the tapes somehow made their way to Maine. Yeah.
So we don't know that she's making.
According to the book.
Yes.
So you think she's going to try to escape to Maine?
Yeah. No, I don't think she would try to escape to that. Would she end up there at some point? Maybe. I don't know. Because maybe that's Lawrence's, you know, plan is, hey, let's get you the fuck out of here.
Maybe he's got a summer home.
Go to my summer home in Maine. I don't know. But that's interesting. Okay. So maybe she doesn't get out.
Whose territory is Maine, do we think?
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's real far up there.
Yeah.
So, fantastic episode.
Yeah.
Just overall. Yeah. So, I thought a very... It's a fantastic finale.
Definitely in like my top few episodes.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
There's just so many interesting things.
Yeah.
That episode and then episode 10 from season 2 when Hannah and June get to talk for the first time to see each other. That episode and this one are like my top 2 best episodes. So well done. So many things could have been gone wrong and been overdone, but they were not.
Yes. It was fantastic. So great job by everybody. And let us know what you thought about it on the Facebooks.
For sure.
Or leave us a message on the fancy voice message.
And let us know if we forgot or missed something.
Yes, tell us all the things we got wrong. We will be thinking
about this for a long time to come. Yes.
Tell us if there's anything we missed, if there's anything that we got wrong, or if there's anything that you have another opinion on, because there's lots of that going around. So just let us know. And remember, next week we're back for the end of season wrap-up show / Ask Mayday Anything. So come up with some good questions for us. Until then, we'll see you.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.